Accession number 18259, Reel 4.
Galantry Reel 4.
I was going to say a cross-channel ferry, but I have to amend that. It was more of a cross-river ferry that we had in Hull that used to sail across the River Humber to New Holland, which were only a small paddle steamer. The paddle steamers, they were. And it was a similar sort of vehicle, craft to one of those. And because I can always remember, I've travelled on these things across the River Humber between Hull and New Holland quite often when I was a kiddie. And it used to go down into a lounge, just down some steps from the top, from the deck, just into a sort of a lounge, and then there was a little bit of a bar in there. And I remember being in there, and we set off, and we hadn't gone very far before, when we were clear of this smoke that was over the... Once we got away from the port, we were shelled. No, not particularly shelled, but dive-bombed by these Stukas, you know. And we had shells dropping here and there and near there. Oh, we were thinking, good heavens, that's near. And you could see, because there was the portholes in the sea thing, looking, and you could see the shells smashing the bombs here and there. And the screech of these Stuka bombers, oh, it was really shocking. Frightened the life out of you, the screams of these bombers. And we went along, and it was shuddering and shaking, and you could imagine it. And I think a lot of it was the way the captain was manoeuvring this ship to try, you know, coming along and zigzagging to try and avoid any direct hits, and we avoided it. And how, I don't know, because by golly, we didn't have to get bombarded. And the destroyer that we were due to, we left, it was sank outside the harbour, this destroyer. There was two destroyers, I just can't think of the names now, just sank in that harbour. In fact, there was a few vessels sank in that harbour. And all this ammunition that we brought with us, we supplied. There was a Lewis gun on the top of the deck. And there was a Lewis, who he was, not this Lewis gunner. And I remember I was sitting down there in this here lounge part, steps used to come down, and they kept handing these magazines, round magazines off a Lewis gun, you know, seemed to be round magazine doors used to clamp on the top. And they were handing these down, and I was filling these as fast as we could. With the old small arms ammunition and sending them back up, just show how valuable it was that we, you know, what ammunition we had left, we took with us. You know, a lot of people said, "Oh, we'll just sling it," but you know, we said we'll take, because it was, we knew very well that we'd need it at some time or other, which we did, of course, when we took up our positions at Dunkirk, and then we needed it again when we on the ship coming home. And as I say, after a while, these bombers, the ceased the bombing, and from what I can remember, it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon when we left. So in the middle of the afternoon, you know. And where we went, I don't know, because it was dark. It was early morning. Next morning, we got into wherever it was we came into. I forget where it was we came in now. But it was so where we'd been, I don't know. It was because we thought we were going to, right, they're taking us somewhere else, they're going to drop us off somewhere else, you know. But it was early morning when we got back, you know. And I was laid up on this.
You mean you thought you were going to go back to France?
We thought we were going to be dropped off again somewhere. Yeah, we thought we were going to be dropped off another position, to stand, you see. But anyhow, as I say, we got home and we eventually were put on trains to different places. And our battalion, by that time, they'd come out and they were at... in Yorkshire, at near Wakefield, in Yorkshire. And that's where we grouped together again there. We went and joined our battalion there. A place called Walton was the village. Walton at Wakefield. Was it.
Had you got any kind of reception in England?
When we came back? Oh, yes, there were people, there were really, and each station we passed as we came in, you came along, you know, they were all giving us whatever we drinks and things to eat and packets of food. And, well, when we stopped at these stations, we went through a lot of them very slowly, you know, and some we were stopped at. I just don't know what route we take, but as I say, we finished up at Wakefield. We were in civilian billets there. Civilian billets. In fact, there was one or two of our... there were two of our chappies in our battalion married girls from there, from that village at Wakefield, eventually. And and then whilst we were there, we had to get regrouped and... as I say, we're living in these civilian billets with the civilians. And... we went to, I don't know if it wasn't at Tadcaster, John Smith's brewery at Tadcaster. And the army had occupied this spot. And they had these, if you've been in these big breweries, but they had big high decks, you know, that they used to load the wagons from, you know, the rollies, the barrels of beer, you see, you know. And, covered a big, vast area. And it was laden with everything you wanted for the art, you know. Buns, clothing, socks, boots, everything to get re-equipped, you know. All that, all fresh equipment. And we had the quartermasters go with us and tell us just what they wanted, and we just... went there and took these trucks and laden them up and took them back to the battalion, and they were dished out to whoever wanted whatever. And then I don't know how long we'll be there, really. Not so very long. And then we moved from there to the Lincolnshire coast. And were billeted in different villages in Lincolnshire. Brigade headquarters was at Louth, if I remember rightly. I was stationed at one time at Caister, Lincolnshire. And those other villages. Different companies stationed at different villages, you know, round about. And I was stationed for quite a while, well, when we first got there, actually. It was at North Summercotes. Well, that's almost right on the coastline, you know. And when we got there onto the Lincolnshire coast, it was our job to secure that coast, you see, by digging in and one thing like that. Ready for the invasion that we expected coming. And when we first got there, we lived in, we had tents, about a couple of three bell tents. Oh, yeah, we had a couple of three bell tents on the beach, because that part of the beach, it goes out far enough to the sea, you know, the sea doesn't come right up to the dunes. It's sand dunes, and it was only when you had very high tides that they would come up there, and we billeted on the just in front of the sand dunes, in these tent in these tents, and we were building the defences along the sand dunes.
Did you think the Germans would invade?
We certainly did expect that we were going to have an invasion on our hands. And we dug in, we were there for most of that summer of 40, and it was a beautiful summer, you know. We were working there, we were all tanned. And the thing about it was, we were tired, but I mean, the thing about it, talking about earlier on when you come out, they were fit, you know. Fit, you felt as if you could jump over the moon, you know. Anyhow, I say we dig in the defences. We had to dig our mortar pits, and then of course there was all the other sleeping quarters to build as well. We dug those and we lined them all with this wattlings I mentioned earlier, you know, with the lining to keep the, because it's soft sand as well, used to sliding in. And mined that area. There was an area down from the road to the beach. It had to be mined. In fact, we had a one shot kill, actually. This area was mined. And I don't know how we'd come to be killed, but there was a chappy killed there. Because it was, you know, all well marked and everything. And as I say, we were there for weeks and weeks still building these defences. And there's a few, there's one or two things happened there which were amusing, actually. Behind us, because you know there are a lot of airfields in Lincolnshire, and there is one in particular just at North Summercourt, it was just behind us, on the beach. There was one that we used to do a stand-to, stand-to and do sentry. Used to stand-to in the morning. Everyone used to stand-to at first light, wherever you were, we used to stand-to. We stood-to at first light. And then as things, things where everything seems to be all right, you'd stand down then, after a period, you say. But then we used to do our 2-1 and 4-off. It's the same on the wherever your area was, you see. And this occasion, it was my turn on. And the only thing you used to see there was an RAF. There was a target. You used to use a bombing target out way out. Now and again, you used to get a bit of practice. But anyhow, this particular day I was online, I'd watching, I'd me binoculars scouring the water, the line, sea line. Of course, water's edge. And now, away over to my left, I saw this plane, but I wasn't near enough for me to really identify it, because we had training in identifying aircraft, And I'm looking at this thing and I thought, well, what the hell is it? And it's, I just couldn't make, but I had a sneaking suspicion. And what kind is it? It's the one that has a slightly plain, it was come back.
Bit it. Swept.
Swept, right. It's, I haven't done yet. I'm trying to think of the name of it now.
Heinkel?
Heinkel. I'm sure it was a Heinkel. The wings seemed to come back from the front slightly. So I'd back like that. And I thought, what is it? I thought, well, it's too bloody late now, whatever it is, if it is to do anything about it. And just behind us, at that stage, there was also a big anti-tank trap being built, and it was being built by civilian labour used to bus in from Grimsby every day, and they were working on this minefield, this here anti-tank trap, I should say. And there was hundreds of them, and I'm watching this thing and I thought, why is it, isn't it, And it wasn't long before I knew what it was. It got round and dropped the wind bombs on this here airfield, you know. Well, these civilians, they didn't have guns. They all scrapped off, you know. What the hell? Anyhow, it came straight over my head when I was 13. It went along. And I could clearly see then it was a German bomber. Shortly afterwards, it was followed by a couple of Spitfires. And away in the distance over the ocean, over the sea, you could hear the few bursts, and that was even finished. And they came back doing the victory roll, did these two aircraft. I think that's the Spitfires, I'm sure. Yeah, that was one of the occasions. And then there was another occasion when I was on there doing the watching, you know. And I saw these two objects on the waterline, and I thought, what the hell are they then? Got my mates to have a look. What can they be? You know. So I said, right, we'll go and have a look. Make sure there was no bombing of this thing. We did see bombers doing bombing this target, practicing. We got down to them, and do you know what they were? There were two barrels of tobacco leaf, come from a shipwreck, obviously. And there were things, must have been waist high with these barrels, from what I can remember. And there were great things, you would never get your arms on them, great brown things. And the wooden sides had been damaged, and the inside were lined, you know, like a thing, metal lining, like the cigarette boxes you used to get with a very fine tin foil, you know. But this was a bit stronger than that, of course. And it was this here foil on the inside, and it was packed with this back of leaf. Oh, things maybe 18 inches long, these leaves, in bundles. And they'd been packed into these barrels. But they'd got damaged, and water had got in. And I don't think any good could have been made of them. But we took some back to try and get it dried and one thing or another. And there was a public house just behind in North Summercourt. And their landlord came down, he took some. And I know he had it on lines, trying to get it dried out. And now then the customs people came down and eventually took it away. It was North Summercourt. Yes, we were there, quite some time on there. And then where did I go to from there? We went... I remember being billeted in Caister, that was it, Caister.
Is this near Yarmouth?
No, this is the one in Lincolnshire, Caister. One in not far from Summercourt and that area. Yes, we're billeted in there. And we used to do the usual thing throughout the day, the drilling and everything, and keeping yourselves, you know, up to scratch. But I was instructing then, instructing on the 3-inch mortar then, how it got made up. And we used to go around to the different companies instructing the chaps on the mortars, you know.
Were you a sergeant?
I was a lance corporal then. And so we used to go around these different villages, and of course all recruits keep coming in, you see, to reinforce battalion, and that's what we're doing most of the time there. Got a bit of leave whilst I was there. Well, in fact, I lost my uncle once. I was had some compassionate leave. This uncle had adopted me, you know, he died whilst I was there. I came home on compassionate leave from there. And there's a point there in Caister. We used to go on to there was bombing Hull, the heights of the bombing in Hull. You could go to this highest point in Caister and you could get a real good view of Hull, you know. It's the highest point you can see Hull getting a battering, you know. Yeah. And we stayed there that winter, end of that year, that would be end of 40. And we were there when it, that winter came, and by it was a bad winter. And I remember being at Case, so we had to go and bring our supplies in by sledge. The winter was that bad, and you know what Lincoln is like when it is, you know, it can be very bad. And I remember the roads being, they had to clear the roads, and we were clearing the roads and throwing it to the, building it at the sides, and it was just like going through tunnels, you know, of snow on these country roads. Yeah, that's Chester. Yes. And then from there, what followed that? We went to Scotland on invasion training, because we would do, well, we did eventually, because I wasn't with the battalion, I left the battalion a bit later on. But the 2nd Battalion, they were earmarked for the invasion of Italy. And then we went and did our invasion training up in Scotland, at Loch Fyne, onto a troop ship at Loch Fyne. We went by rail from to Greenock, and we were due then to go by smaller boats from Greenock to the Loch, to Loch Fyne, to this troop ship that was anchored in there. To do our invasion training, and it was bad. The weather was that bad that we just couldn't go. That's I can. We were there, got there about one afternoon. We were still due to sail at that, but we had to stay in Greenock, and we were billeted in. I think we were billeted in a TA barrack actually for the night. We had to stay there that night because it was too bad to move with the weather. Oh, it was lashing the sea about there. And so we stayed, and I always remember having a good night out with all the locals there, with these the Scots and the whiskies. We had a good night out there. And then eventually, I'd say, we finished and got up to Loch Fyne aboard this troop ship. And it was there that we were up there about 4 to 5 days, if I remember rightly. Started off for this... the basics on the landing craft, you know, assault landing craft. Coming down the side on these blooming nets, you know. And with all your gear. And of course, with the mortars, we used to carry them about with us, you know. When we were in, we had slings, webbing slings, to carry the different parts of the mortar. There was a base plate. And then there was a barrel and a tripod. So they were the three main pieces of the mortar. And each piece had slings to carry them with, you see. Fasten them and carry them over your shoulder, and by the way, bloody heavy. In fact, in the early days, when we used to do route marches with your run manoeuvres, before we were carrying us to march, carry them with us. And we had these things, and we were doing this invasion train. We're coming down these rope ladders onto the assault landing craft with one of these straps around it. So, cut, Lord above. And the weather wasn't too bad. It was pretty reasonable, when I can remember, until the last day. And as I say, we get onto these ships and then sail into the the coast and dropping the front and over into the water and onto the. And we did this, as I say, for about 3 days, trying to get proficient. And then the last day, it was said, right, it's going to happen, but we don't know when. You're going to have the alert coming that you're going to have to. Getting to your landing craft off this, but we didn't know when it was going to be, so we had to go just waiting, thinking, now when is it going to happen? And it happened about really 2 o'clock in the morning. And we all had, you know, our positions to go to for these landing craft. And it rained. Oh, it was cold and raining. And we had to get down these rope ladders into the assault landing craft. Enough for sure, you know. And it had been arranged, apparently, that there was a big, what we used to call them stunts, you know, a manoeuvre, like, you know. And it was said that all the big stuff was there, the heavy stuff, brigades, majors, and Churchill was supposed to have been there with this thing. And we, there was an enemy on the mainland, and we were landing. It was our job to attack the, you know, to make a landing. That was the beachhead, you see. That was the object of the exercise. And that went on for long enough. Frozen, very cold, and then it was called off, and then we were all congregated and marched off back to some barrack or other. That was our bit of invasion training up in Scotland.
Which year would this have been?
Now this would be, it was 1940, we was on the Lincolnshire coast, 40. It would be 41, early 41, I would think, I remember rightly. Yeah, because I went to the Middle East at the end of that year. That was it, 41. And whilst we're up there, I got some, contacted some, well, like boils on my ankles from sleeping in roofy blankets, I think, easiest thing to do. And I was in hospital up there. That's, what did they call it? Maryhill Barrack, somewhere near Glasgow, I believe, if I remember rightly. Maryhill, that way, I believe. And I remember I was in hospital there. And when I came out, there was a, if you're away from your battalion for over 3 weeks at that stage, we were sent to our holding battalion at Regent's Park. And of course after 3 weeks, your place was taken up by somebody else. And we were then sent to our holding battalion. You see, to remain there till such time as you what you wanted for anything else. And I went to our holding battalion at Regent's Park. After a spell there, I was doing at Regent's Park, we were doing duties at Chequers, the Prime Minister's residence, you know. And we're doing our tours of duty there, Chequers, quite a while. And we used to see all kinds of people rolling up there in the staff cars, and you know, heavy brass coming to meetings, God knows what, conferences and things. That was at Chequers. Now then, we just knock off.